From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the weekly internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Carl Franklin introducing show number 13 with guest Jeff Sigman, recorded Thursday, June 7th, 2007 at TechEd 2007 in Orlando, Florida. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, offering professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com.
Hi there, you're listening to Run As Radio, and this is your host, Richard Campbell, and with me, Greg Hughes.
Hey, Richard, how are you doing?
I'm really well and having a good time. We're coming into summer.
Yeah.
And we're now reached the end of our TechEd shows.
Yeah, this is the last of the shows that we picked up and recorded on the floor at TechEd.
Right, in Orlando. And we had meant to get four and just couldn't seem to squeeze that fourth one out.
Well, you know, it's logistically, that was that's a fast-paced show with an awful lot of content and really, really busy people.
Yeah, and it was quite, it's funny how you really couldn't plan a lot of that stuff in advance. Most everything we had that worked out at TechEd, we did on the floor right then and there.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was a on the fly. I know that I spent a lot of time on my feet. Boy, I'll tell you, a couple of days there, it was painful by the time I was done running around and really talking to people and trying to find those really great nuggets of information that I thought and then we would talk about it and you thought would make a great show.
Yeah, I agree. Always the challenge is to find the right guy and the important bit of information you need to know about these technologies, because I can't explain everything in a half an hour. I got to get to the key things.
Right. And there's a lot of great things, but really trying to focus on what is it for an IT pro, somebody working in or running an IT department, or maybe the one person IT department, you know, what are those things that we can take away? You know, we've talked about IIS7. We talked about card space, and our final topic out of TechEd is one that I think is really, really interesting, both from an IT and a security standpoint. And it's something that isn't quite rocket science to do, but with Windows Server 2008, the new network access protection capabilities are really, really cool.
And you're right, it's not that complicated, but it really took a lot of bits hanging together to make it all work. New client operating system and the new features in the server operating system, it's just sort of a coalescing of these things. And I think you got an insight into this early on too. We saw this over 2 years ago. Microsoft was saying, this is what we want to do. And at the time, yep, I thought, I don't know how you're going to make that happen. But it's really kind of exciting to see it here.
When Microsoft was first thinking about and starting to do some of the betas, it ended up being Windows Server 2003 R2.
Right.
There's sort of a light version of network access protection. With Windows Server 2008, which is available in beta 3 for download right now, so people can download this and try it out, the new network access protection just has some terrific stuff. But you know what? We don't need to explain that.
No.
Because it was explained to us. So why don't we get to that?
Yeah, let's go to Jeff.
Well, here we are sitting in the fishbowl again for recording another Run As Radio at the virtual TechEd booth round the back in the editing studio. I'm here with Greg.
How you doing, Richard?
And we're sitting with Jeff Sigman. Hi, Jeff. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Richard.
And you're working on technology I've been fascinated by a while, which is network access protection.
It is an exciting new area of Server 2008. It's one of the key features that the product is adding to our suite of components within Windows. I'm really excited to be on the team. So
let's start at the beginning.
All right.
You know?
So I'll rewind 3 years ago, and I'm on the Windows dev team. And we're trying to look at how do we give the IT pro the ability to create policy around who can come on the network, and once they're on the network, are they healthy or not? What does that healthy concept mean? And then what do we do with them once we determine they're not healthy?
This strikes me as the laptop problem, right?
Yes.
I take my laptop from the work. I take it home.
You go get Blaster. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
And you bring it back.
Yeah. I let my kid play on it or something along those lines. You don't know what happens in the home network. And then I bring it back to the office.
Exactly.
Should I really have the same privileges I had when I left?
Right.
Or at least you got to have some judgment as to what's going to happen.
And for me, our own Microsoft IT shop had to figure out the pre-NAP world, pre-network access protection world, and their method was they end up shutting down your office. They kill the whole port in your office, and you have to make a help desk call. Right. And you have to promise to that engineer on the phone that you'll fix whatever they found the problem. So right there in Knapp, we had...
Before you plug it back into the wire.
Exactly.
Right.
And so they'd flip me on. They'd trust me that I'd fixed it.
Right.
And so with Knapp, we knew immediately we had to be able to auto-remediate, we call it. That means turn the firewall back on automatically, fix Windows Update, make sure he gets the critical patches,
right,
make sure his AV has the latest signatures, and then we let him back on automatically. Hopefully, he never even has to do anything manually, and he never picks up the phone and calls help
desk. It's a lot of manual intervention, though. And it also, doesn't really address the issue of the computers that you don't have patching control over. What if a partner or a visitor comes
right
in with a laptop and just plugs it into your network trying to get an internet connection?
Wait, that's one of the great things we do support is we have NAP plus 802.1x. That's switch-based, hardware-based NAP,
right,
where literally you have a communication channel between the switch and network policy server, which is our NAP server piece in Windows Server 2008.
Right.
And we will tell the switch, put this guy in VLAN X or VLAN 1, 2, or 3.
Okay.
And the VLANs are configured such that he can only get to a limited set of resources. Let's say you only want guests to be able to get to the internet.
Right.
We can say VLAN 3 can only get to the proxy. That's it. So he comes in, you don't know who he is, or he's unhealthy. You know who he is and he's unhealthy.
Yeah.
You dump him onto this VLAN. Network policy server tells the switch to do this. And now you can only get to this limited number of resources.
What I like about that is it's not just a no.
Exactly.
It's at least something.
All we had pre-NAP in the Microsoft world was a no. We're going to shut down your port, and you call help desk.
You get nothing.
Exactly.
And it also occurs to me suddenly that, you know, we always talk about the perversion of SMTP and the corruption of HTTP, but even DHCP and DNS, those protocols are just as weak
right
in terms of security and in terms of policy
exactly
as the other protocols. We just don't think of them as being part of the problem.
Exactly.
This idea that we need to know more before I hand you an IP address.
Right.
What IP address I'm going to hand you is going to depend on what kind of cred you can give me.
Exactly. One of the common misconceptions about NAP that I wanted to make sure I got to emphasize is that some people think it's only based on DHCP. NAP is based on DHCP. That's actually not true. We support NAP 802.1x, NAP IPsec, NAP Terminal Server Gateway, and NAP VPN. Those are the ones out of the box Server 2008 that we support.
Right. So a lot of different options for and different levels of strength that you might relative
exactly
levels of strength that you can apply NAP.
You can combine them. We find our customers, our advanced TAP customers, we call them, the
right
ones that are putting Server 2008 in production already.
Yeah.
They're combining. They're doing NAP DHCP plus IPsec. Or 802.1x plus IPsec. And
so to do IPsec, this is point-to-point IPsec tunnels?
This is, actually, it's transport mode.
Okay.
It is just no tunnels, but you have a credential on your box, a certificate.
Right.
NAP, if you're healthy, puts the certificate there. If you're
right
unhealthy, it rips the certificate off.
Gotcha.
So the minute that you become unhealthy, you no longer have a credential to talk to the server you're attempting to talk to.
So I'm not creating a situation where I can't monitor my network anymore. I can still pass all the information across the network in a way that I can keep track of and monitor and sniff and do all that.
Exactly. Well, Microsoft IT doesn't do IPsec encryption. We do authenticated header, meaning we know who you are, but we don't want to encrypt the traffic.
Right.
You can still debug that. You know, you can still
sure
sniff that and look at it. So.
Well, from a security standpoint, I think there's some real value in that. You know, in Richard's point, I think you made a good point. We were talking earlier about, you know, DHCP and DNS and all of these protocols
right
that were made by very optimistic, loving people out there that
the
came
idealistic
up with a great
world,
idea.
Yeah.
But didn't really look at it from a threat modeling perspective.
Right.
And NAP has really come out of the need to be able to exercise a level of control that those protocols just don't allow.
And I'm thinking about just what you described there about assigning on VLAN and so forth. That's not actually communicating with the switch so much as controlling the DHCP server and those kinds of services, right?
Well, you are doing, it's kind of layered. You're doing both.
Right. I'm just thinking about what gear am I going to need to buy to make NAP work for me.
Okay. So the cheapest and quickest and the you can set it up in 5 minutes is NAP DHCP. You simply need one 2008 box that runs DHCP and network policy server, and you have, boom, you have NAP working. Then go beyond that to get an 802.1x working. You have to have a switch that supports dynamic VLAN switching with Radius.
Now, so let's start with a simple NAP DHCP.
Right, the simplest.
Say that three times fast.
Okay.
What clients are going to work on that? Are there
so
certain ones that
work? So we support
Vista
out of the box when it's shipped, and we support XP.
Is that all editions of Vista?
Yes.
Really? All of them?
It's on,
home
it's
editions?
It's installed on all editions and off by default on all editions.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, but you can turn it on any edition.
Any
at
edition
all.
Can turn it on.
And there are XP editions as well? Is that just Pro, I presume?
So, well, right now we have a beta of the XP client. You can, I can provide the blog, by the way, at the end. And,
sure.
And people can email me to get the beta if they would like it.
Yeah.
It's going to ship in XP Service Pack 3.
Okay.
And when you install XP Service Pack 3, it'll be the same experience as Vista. It'll be in the there and off.
So via group policy or
via group
similar
policy.
Mechanism, scripting mechanisms, we can turn that on. 100%
yes.
Control over that.
You know, I'm suddenly jumping all over this for home use. Like if we get a home server edition
right.
to support NAP, just the whole idea that when your friend comes over and uses
right.
your wireless, he can't mess up your MP3 collection.
Or your kids.
Or your kids.
Yeah, you have firewall auto remediation on. The guy, your kid turns it off, and we just flip it right back on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I flatly admit that I do apply group policies to my children.
You do.
But you know, the advantage of being heavily involved with Microsoft is I have all the MSDN licenses and stuff, so
okay.
that I'm allowed to run these servers. And so I have a domain at home.
Right.
But that makes me crazy. It's also a serious administration headache for a home system.
Yeah.
So the idea that NAP would actually be modeled so that somebody who has a home-level server, which is not going to be a huge number of customers,
right.
but it's not going to be zero either, can take advantage of, hey, you know, all your machines are behaving and all your friends are behaving on your network.
Right.
So let's talk about what healthy means.
Okay,
before,
what healthy, good,
we talk,
good point.
And then I'd like to maybe jump back into the different, we talked about the DHCP option, and
right.
a little detail on each of those, but you've mentioned a couple of times, you know, if your machine's not healthy.
Right.
So what are we talking about there?
So I'll define out-of-the-box healthy,
right.
meaning what you get for free, or so to speak, included with Windows.
Right.
So we wrap around the Windows Security Center. So that is firewall on-off, antivirus on or off, up signatures up to date, those
right.
things.
Gotcha.
So you can create policy in Server 2008 without any additional software around all of that.
Okay.
90% of it we can auto remediate, meaning we can just flip it back on whether you want us to or not, if the IT guy wants us to.
Got it.
The thing we can't do automatically is third party AV. Since we didn't write the AV product, we do not know how to turn it on or off or tweak the signature update settings.
Okay.
So that's something where NAP is improved by third-party integration with NAP. So we have over 115 partners working with NAP. We have all the big players in AV and firewall
sure.
working with us. So the to actually make a rich NAP experience for the IT guy,
yeah.
he can, if he's a McAfee shop, let's say, he gets McAfee's version that integrates with NAP. He installs it on the server, rolls the update out to the clients. Now he can auto-remediate even AV or their firewall product.
I see. So are there any antivirus vendors that are already integrated with NAP and
so
in their releases?
The two, now I know of none that are shipping their software today.
Okay.
But the two I've personally seen are Trend Micro.
Right.
They gave us a beta of it for RSA down
okay.
in San Francisco.
Sure.
And McAfee showed their beta as well.
Okay. Good. So let's go back to the different flavors, if you will, of
okay.
doing NAP. So
we call them enforcements, by the way.
There you go. Different NAP enforcement levels or whatever
right.
we're going to call them. So we've talked about the DHCP. I think I kind of get that. So what are some of the other options and
so
how do they work?
I mentioned briefly about IPsec, and there's a credential, and it's a certificate
right.
that we remove and add to the box as you're healthy or not.
That is a clever solution.
Yes.
Wow, I just sort of go, bing. Then I don't need to know. No software needs to understand NAP at all.
Yeah.
All of these different products.
Exactly. You mean like Outlook or something?
Any of these things is dependent on certificates. You just yank the certificate.
Exactly.
And all sorts of stuff is just going to go away.
That bing you just had was the Bill G demo we gave where Outlook is connected. You know,
yep.
the guy goes unhealthy. You'll see Outlook just disconnects.
Just disconnects.
And then we turn the firewall back on, and then Outlook just connects again. I mean, that's the ideal scene
yeah,
that we
that's
have.
That's pretty so. Cool. What a clever idea. And it's just that or one step removed from the application.
Right.
One of the
exactly.
service pieces.
The plumbing.
That everything else is supported to.
Exactly.
And it's using the plumbing that was built in the second layer
right.
to deal with the, you know, the Pollyanna protocols, if you will, that work really well, but that really weren't, you know, IPsec. One of the reasons IPsec came around and one of the big benefits of it is that you can exercise that kind of control.
Exactly.
So it's good that I think it's cool that you're using existing plumbing to do the job really well.
We wanted to pull it off simply, and we wanted to make it something you could create policies around IPsec.
Right. Without reinventing the wheel, so
exactly.
to speak. Yeah.
I guess the one I haven't mentioned is RS, Routing Remote Access.
Okay.
On that one, VPN clients come in. And if they go unhealthy, that we leave them connected, we put a filter down on RS, and we say the guy can only get to this set of server, this set of IPs, I should say. When he goes healthy, we remove that filter, and he's got full flow connectivity.
Now, is this with Microsoft VPNs? Is it integrated with other third-party VPNs, or how
this
is that
the one we support today from Microsoft is the routing remote access in Server 2008.
Okay,
just like DHCP is currently DHCP server inside of Server 2008.
Right.
Now, we just 2 weeks ago, the TCG, the standards body around security, announced that the Statement of Health Protocol, the one we use to communicate the health of the client, has become a standard. So what that means is someone could write their own third-party DHCP server and do NAP. Likewise, RS, SSL, VPN. They could people could write a server that supported our Statement of Health Protocol, and it would just interop with Vista and XP, boom. So that's the beauty of us becoming the standard, is that now it's a published thing anybody can read. You don't have to license it. You can just interoperate.
It's a free open standard for all to use.
Exactly.
Now, one of the things I really appreciate, Richard, about Microsoft over the last few years has been that move toward more open and accessible standards that others can use, as opposed to being proprietary.
Yeah, this is far less proprietary technology these days, and you're building more software around these standards, and
right.
it seems like the standards are getting a chance to mature before you start tearing off on them, too, so
exactly.
we have more chance of actually implementing against it.
The coolest thing about NAP for me is the ecosystem. You know, working with a third party that I typically didn't get to work with, you now have Trend Micro or whomever getting excited about NAP,
right.
building on our public API, and then getting to sell more software because they integrate with NAP, or, you know, and it all helps move NAP forward. That, I love that.
And I'm thinking, when I think ecosystem, I think, what's going to happen to my MacBook Pros? Are they going to be able to drop in on this?
Ah, I've got some hot news.
Hit me with the hot news.
Hot news is Avenda Systems, for the Interop conference in Las Vegas, wrote a NAP client on Linux in 1.5 weeks. Week and a half, they wrote a NAP client. They showed it at Interop Vegas, and it just completely interoperated with everything, our network policy server,
sure.
Vista, XP. It just worked.
So again, the beauty of sharing and open standards that are simple.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, it not only does it make it possible, it quite often makes it a lot simpler.
Well, big thing here is Microsoft didn't have to build it.
Right.
And Apple didn't have to build
exactly.
it. Exactly. Other people were motivated to write the software. They knew everything they needed to do to make it happen.
Right. We've had two companies say, we want to write your Mac NAP client.
Nice.
And we're pumping them up. You know, go for it, guys.
Yeah.
We'd love to have it.
Now, you talked about NAP RS, which was routing services.
Routing and remote access.
Routing
right.
and remote access. But you also said NAP VPN.
Yes.
Two different things?
No, the VPN is terminated by routing and remote access.
Okay.
It is our VPN server. You can call it the same thing.
What was the other one? Terminal services version?
Terminal server gateway.
Terminal server gateway. And I immediately thought this is something about terminal services.
Right. Yeah, this is a brand new feature in 2008 that you... now, you have to pardon my lack of knowledge. I'll tell you what I know. Is that you basically, instead of your desktop, you are terminal serving an app. So instead of just sharing the desktop,
right.
you have an app that appears to be running locally,
right.
but is going through the RDP to a back end, and you think you're running it.
Right.
And so when you authenticate with that, that guy checks your client health. They integrate with NAP. And if you're not healthy, he'll, you know, it reacts to that, and you won't be able to connect to that app until your client is healthy.
That's an interesting way to gate that.
Well, the interesting
you can almost
problem,
call it app-based NAP, almost.
Yeah, app-based right. NAP. I mean, the interesting side effect of the new terminal services ability, that ability to only share the app, is it becomes harder and harder to know you're making remote connections.
Right.
And,
yeah.
you know, where does the app actually live, and what are the consequences of you using it?
Exactly.
So NAP becomes more essential in that scenario because the user, who may have the best intentions in the world, is
right.
unaware of the threat he serves.
Correct. I can't wait to see where that goes. I can't wait to see the adoption of that feature and see if app-based NAP becomes something that people start demanding more of. So
yeah, it's an interesting thought, and it's in some ways easier to just go down to the layer two stuff,
right?
Deal with my IPsec, make my connection go away, or
right.
my ability to authenticate to go away, rather than fight with anything else.
Well, to a certain extent, but if you're, sort of thinking out loud here, if I have a Outlook that needs to connect to an Exchange server from the internet, then you know. NAP for my client that's running Outlook that is connecting to the Exchange server remotely via, you know, over HTTPS, that might actually be something that'd be really useful to make sure that my client is clean before I allow a connection.
We're in communications. We're in talks with the Office team. We're in talks with Windows Mobile guys. Because then the next thing you start thinking about is, why isn't my cell phone have a NAP client on it?
Sure.
So
I have an extranet that's based on SharePoint, and I want to be able to do direct SharePoint integration
right.
as opposed to just just basic web UI, then maybe I can exercise some control in that area. So yeah. I can see where this could be something that's really interesting as it grows over time. You know, the term de-perimeterization has become right. one of those catchphrases that's yeah. out there. But this is one of the types of things. Network access protection is really key in terms of flavor of what it takes to de-perimeterize and not rely on the firewall anymore, but rather right. to secure the endpoint, you know, and just secure where the data lives.
Right.
And to redefine your perimeter.
And as soon as you say re-perimeterize or de-perimeterize, I start thinking about those great social experiments where guys dropped USB keys in the parking lot and people consistently picked them up and plugged them in.
Right.
And so the idea that there? Every access point into your network has the ability to evaluate its risk, to be able to be tested for that vulnerability, and then mitigate the risk or, you know, at least containerize it.
Exactly. Let that unknown... The IT pros I've met at the show, they seem really... They're looking into the future. They want to get a better control on that question mark. You know, all these nodes out there that they feel a loss of control. It's mainly unmanaged guys, you know, that...
Yeah. These uncontrolled vectors. It's right. just easy ways to get yourself into trouble.
Okay, so if I wanted to implement this today,
yes.
say I'm an Active Directory shop, I have a Windows domain, I'm running Windows Server 2003.
Okay,
and I want to give this a try. You know, help us all understand what it takes to be able to put this into place and start playing with it right now and find out what it's all about.
Great question. My motto for the show is try NAP now.
Okay.
So that's great. So we have 5 step-by-step guides sitting on Microsoft.com/NAP. And it's also via the blog.
NAP, right?
Right.
Okay.
And so the thing to do is these are lab guides. How do I set up a lab at my company to show me that NAP works and what it does?
Right.
So you can follow these guides with Beta 3, either the Beta 3 you got at TechEd or Beta 3. It's actually publicly downloadable on the web.
This is Windows Server 2008 Beta 3.
Exactly.
Cool T-shirts, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can use Vista right out of the box, or you can, like I said, contact me via email and get the beta client of NAP, the NAP client for XP.
You want to share that email address now?
Sure. It is jeff.sigman, S-I-G-M-A-N, at Microsoft.com.
So you're going to get emails from folks.
Bring it on.
They're going to be that client. Well, and I really think it would be interesting to see more of these things being tested out in different environments.
I'm getting a lot of positive feedback. I'm also getting constructive criticism. They'll say, hey, I couldn't get it working in this way.
Sure.
I'll do you know, exchanges with them and find out, oh, there's something wrong with their switch. And we got that ironed out. So I love the feedback. So
this is something we've been talking about. I know that I've been wishing for and the community's been talking about for years. The whole concept, some of the old terminology, I think it's probably the same stuff just with new names on it, but the idea of quarantine zones and
right.
network quarantines and being able to control when somebody's coming in remotely, whether or not they have the clean machine so that you can let them in. So it's good to see this coming to fruition and productized and actually going out as something that's going to be a formally supported piece of commercial software as
right.
opposed to a proof of concept
exactly.
Package that's handed out on Windows 2003 server with a set of limited functionality.
Right.
Sounds like
your team, I know what you're talking about, actually.
Sounds like your team has come a long, long ways.
We have.
Relatively quickly.
We have. We went from RQS, RQC...
Uh-huh.
To where I'm sitting today in 3 years, and so I'm really proud of actually what we've gotten done, and I hope the world loves it. I really hope they do.
Well, I'm not ready to give up on this topic yet because there's a couple more things I want to pound on a bit. I mean, VPN is just a huge issue and a huge set of discussions, and obviously,
right.
I mean, you got a remote guy connecting into your network as if he's there.
Yes.
Yeah. NAP is obviously essential. You have no idea what's coming at you from that angle.
Right.
But what's going to be I'm still trying to imagine how you're going to control what a guy can do without just cutting him out if he's got a non-NAP compliant machine in a VPN.
I see. Well, the thing that we're telling people to do is the critical things to get himself fixed up. So typically that's the either WSUS server or anything however the guy gets patches through SMS. SMS actually integrates inside of NAP. So SMS could go grab those patches over VPN. Pull him down, and then he can declare himself healthy again.
And then drop the patches, right?
So NAP's reaction to a non-compliant machine coming in via VPN would be to only open the services that could fix them.
That is what we're recommending. That's a best practice,
right.
Yes.
And could you actually go so far as like a redirect of some kind? How is a guy going to receive a notification that he's not compliant?
You haven't seen my NAP demo.
I have not seen your NAP demo.
So,
and you know, it's very tough to show a NAP demo on a radio show.
It
so
is.
You're going to have to walk me through this.
Picture a bubble. And this bubble says, You do not meet the corporate standards, or your machine has been discovered to not meet corporate policy, and your network access could be limited. So that's the bubble. It comes up with a UI that says, here's exactly what's wrong, and here's what you can do about it. It literally goes down to firewalls off, turn it on.
Right, right.
And you can also brand it. IT shops can put their little logo. They can control the text that's on the banner and say, you know, it says Microsoft IT at my company.
Right.
And then it has a URL for it's a fix-up help. So that URL is something the IT guy pushes down to say, here's steps you can go through.
Gotcha.
To fix yourself if we can't fix you automatically.
So another big question here. Is Microsoft using this now?
Yes, we are. Oh, can I tell the Microsoft story? This is a beautiful story.
Absolutely.
Actually.
I love a good dog food story.
Okay, so we're live across North America
right.
with NAP IPsec and NAP DHCP. We have around 60,000 to 80,000 nodes doing NAP.
Right.
Okay, so guess what we found? 20,000 machines across North America.
A lot of dirty machines.
Weren't running either firewall or AV or both. 20,000.
Out of how many?
60 to 80.
So 60 to 80,000 machines, a third.
We're not running AV or firewall.
Wow.
Or one or the other or both.
You know, it's interesting. As a guy who has been to dozens of Microsoft offices,
right.
I've never been able to get connectivity most of the time because the network's always been so locked down.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's an interesting side effect of having a net resource like NAP is that you're going to enable you to raise that barrier.
Exactly.
So more of your third-party folks, your vendors, and your visitors
right.
are going to be, at least give me an IP address so I can get out. Right. I don't want the rest of your network. I just want to get out.
Exactly. And so listen to this. So our IT shop thought of something that we never did in the product team. You know, I'm one of the guys who wrote it. And here's something we never thought of. They turned it on in reporting mode only, we call it.
Okay.
So their policies never enforced anything across those 60,000 to 80,000
just reporting
bucks.
A status. And that's something
they
else NAP...
They logged it to SQL.
Something else NAP gives you that you... It's more than just enforcing the network policy. It also gives you a real-world view in, I would imagine, close to real-time...
It is.
...of what your network actually looks like so that you can actually have an idea of what the health status of all your machines
are. We didn't even have a concept of reporting mode. These guys said, oh, let's not enforce. Let's just report.
Yeah, I don't want to annoy anybody. Yeah. I want to find out how bad the situation actually is.
So then they build this graph out of SQL, and it shows these 20,000 machines. And then they go, okay, how the heck are we going to do this without talking to these people? So then they turn NAP into, we call it deferred enforcement.
Okay.
I call it probation. But basically what that is you put a date on the server that says we will quarantine you or we will restrict your access on this date.
Right.
And they just set it ahead a year. We saw unhealthy machines go from 20 to 10 in a week. Just by putting that bubble in their face,
right.
We fixed 10,000 machines over North America. And then a month later, we're down to 1% are now around 500 machines are not compliant.
Oh, the power of having somebody know
exactly
that you know.
Yeah, we know you've been misbehaving.
It's a year later. We have less than 500 machines non-healthy, and we fixed our network without ever enforcing anybody.
And those machines that are non-healthy, you can exercise the level of control over them that's necessary.
Right. Well, we know their MAC address. We know their IP. Sometimes we even know their name, their username. So, yeah, and guess what? They started calling help desk. This is where I'm going to mention a bug, which, typically you don't do, but I think it's amusing. So it turns out these 500 machines hit a WMI bug. And if you know, Security Center publishes into WMI states of various things.
Yep.
These machines had hit a WMI corruption, and they could not tell that the firewall or AV was on or off. So they called help desk. Help desk figures out that you can reset the repository of WMI.
Right.
And now these guys all go healthy. So we go down to zero,
So the 500 were actually all...
A bug.
Yeah, all corrupted WMI.
Exactly.
And so getting that corruption fixed up, got them reported properly, and
exactly.
The whole thing goes away.
And so, then you start debating, do we ever want to turn enforcement on? You have to debate whether you want to go there, and I think each company will make that.
It's a risk versus business decision, and
right.
And it's all about risk management, as we say, not risk, abatement. We can mitigate it and we can manage it, but it's not about turning everything off.
Right.
The whole idea is to enable the business to be able to do their job.
Exactly. Continue making money. Your business.
Right. Some pretty exciting stuff.
Wow.
Can you tell I'm enthusiastic about it?
You seem to like the product, but and my relationship with Microsoft had an opportunity to see earlier incarnations of this and thought, wow, this is going to be impressive when it comes along the line. It's
right.
Nice to see it actually showing up in the 2008 edition.
I appreciate you saying that.
It hasn't been that far. So
no.
I'm thinking about how I would retrofit into my existing network with this. I can imagine setting up a virtual PC machine and just going one step at a time.
So let's dive really quick before we're out of time here into the 802.1x requirements.
It's one of my favorite ones.
So why don't you talk about how that works, why 802.1x is chosen and used, and what it takes to be able to implement that.
Okay. So,
in fact, it might even be useful for some people who are listening for you to explain what the heck 802.1x is in the first place.
Okay, great. So 802.1x is all about user and machine authentication at the physical connecting device. So that's your wireless access point, or your actual, what most people think of as a hub or a switch.
The switch, right?
It's user and machine auth at that point when you plug in or when you connect wireless. So it's all about going back to the AD or the user account database and saying, can this person actually get an IP on my network?
Right.
And the guest scenario is there is if we don't know who they are, we put them somewhere, or either that or we just drop them completely.
Right. Or VLAN them off to the guest network or however you want to do that.
Right. VLAN is virtual LAN in that this is it's a concept of think of an IP area within a switch in its memory itself where you can segment those things off. That's right. How I try to think about it.
So you only route to that one particular virtual LAN, if
exactly.
you will, and all the other VLANs on the switch are inaccessible.
Right. And then you add health on top of that. So what does that mean? So the guy has authenticated to the switch port. You add health on top. If he's not healthy, you can actually tell the switch, move to VLAN, unhealthy. And then he'll only have access to machines you've allowed routable through that VLAN.
Gotcha.
Now, I could think of a weaker solution, but not requiring the gear for that, which would just be using NAP DHCP to assign different subnets based on pass, fail, whatever levels
you
want to go.
Through NAP DHCP, you can push down routes. The guy loses his default gateway in NAP DHCP.
Right.
And you can push routes down so he can only get to WSUS or the internet proxy or whatever you want to. Exactly.
Right. So you can filter him down, limit him. I mean, if you're really clever, you'd be pushing him to a gateway that's rewriting all his IP. So he's always being sent to the same place saying, yeah, you're not compliant. Here's how you get fixed. No, I'm not letting you out till you get yourself fixed.
Like the hotel scenario where they grab
Absolutely.
Your browser.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking that I would have all that capability relatively easily. But these switches aren't extraordinarily expensive. We're talking about a basic Layer 3 managed switch has 802.1x support.
So Dell has a $400 one I found on their website. All it has to support is dynamic VLAN switching via Radius. And so that literally is a bullet item when you go and buy a switch. Cisco's had it on their switches for 10 years.
Right.
And I think within the last 3 or 4, all the major vendors have it. We have it. We had a rack at Interop Vegas with 12 switches in it. And we just showed the customer, I can plug in any one of these guys, you know, Extreme Networks, Aruba Networks.
HP.
Yeah, HP ProCurve. Plug into all of them and it works.
That's pretty terrific. I think so for some larger organizations where the switches are maybe a little bit older, you know, it is possible to need a retrofit.
Right.
But all modern switches do include 802.1x.
Yes. That's been my experience.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I can't disagree with you there. Odds are there's quite a few that just haven't configured it or haven't needed it before. And
right.
This is a whole other way to take advantage of it. The big thing with the whole VLANing of this is that now the traffic's completely isolated.
Yes.
Someone with bad intent is going to have a tough time circumventing it, much less someone who's just messing up.
Yeah, I have a webcast of how you set up from zero to infinity Windows Server 2008 with 802.1x on the blog, if you don't mind if I mention that.
Absolutely. Please do.
So it's blogs.technet.com/NAP.
NAP for Network Access
XX Protection. Exactly.
Jeff, really been fun to talk to you.
Awesome.
Exciting, exciting product. Nice to see something brand new coming out.
Yes.
That's going to shake things up and make our lives a little easier at the same time.
In my opinion, one of the key reasons to go to 2008. So,
that's,
of course, I'm on the team, so I have that opinion.
You are biased. There's no two ways about it.
Slightly.
But I appreciate the enthusiasm. It's been really fun to talk to you.
Yes.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.